from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah!
This hour, we'll talk some football coming up. An update from Giant Camp. The NFL moving even closer to an 18-game season. Tonight, the Mets play the Yankees. Game 2 of the 2-game series. The Mets are going to try to do something tonight they have done one time in the history of the Subway Series. One time. And that is sweep the New York Yankees in a season series. That has only happened one time. It occurred back in the very forgettable 2013 season, which didn't anything.
What did the Mets do for the rest of the year?
Nothing. They finished under 500. I think if I had to guess, I'd say they won 75 games, somewhere between 75 and 78.
Was that 6 or 4 games?
That was a 4-game sweep.
Okay, so it doesn't
matter. What did the Yankees do the rest of that season?
In 2013, wasn't
I mean,
that
I guess
the,
I could just look it up, but...
Was that the... No, that wasn't the Jeter injury season. That was the year they missed the playoffs. I think they missed the playoffs in 13. I get some of their years confused. Like, 10, they lost in the LCS to Texas. 11, they lost in the divisional series to Detroit. And then 12 was the year where they beat the Orioles in the divisional series. And then they got swept by the Tigers in the LCS when Jeter got hurt.
Yeah.
And then 13 and 14, they missed the playoffs entirely.
That's correct.
So that was a year where both teams missed the playoffs. Now, Sean, you say this
and
week
then they lost the next week, the next year in the wild card.
No, 15, yes.
Yeah, 15 to the Astros. Wild card, and they missed it in 16.
And then 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, right. They made the playoffs. You say 4-game sweeps don't count?
And I believe this on both sides.
Oh, that's fine. I'm asking your opinion.
If it was 4 consecutive games, it's a little different. I think 2-game series, I don't believe in 2-game series sweeps. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's 2-game series.
Yeah. I know, but it's like a
4-game series.
Yeah, like, I know that by all definitions of sweeps, it is a sweep, and this is not me trolling the Mets. I don't really feel
No, I want to make this clear. So if the Mets win tonight, okay, they beat Gerrit Cole, who they have had great success against in his major league career. If the Mets win tonight, you think it would be wrong for a Met fan to have a broom at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
I think he's wrong about that.
Not a real sweep.
No, it is wrong.
In baseball
terms? But it's a season sweep.
Yeah.
Of only 4 games.
Yeah, but 4 games is not 2 games.
I know it's split, but...
It is, though. It's deceiving when you say 4 games. 2-game series, and that's what you sweep. Call it what you want, that's fine. You can celebrate it. I don't view it as a sweep, and I would view it the same way if the Yankees were doing it.
I would agree with you when it's just the 2 games, like when the Mets swept the Yankees at Citi Field. I agree. It's like, it's a marginal sweep.
Yeah.
But to do it for 4 games, even if it's separated... That is a legitimate sweep, and it's also so unique. Like, in the history of the Subway Series, the Yankees swept the Mets in 2017 4-0. So, according to Sean, not a real sweep. In 2013, the only sweep the Mets have ever had, again, 4-0. And then in 2003, 6-0 Yankees, which I guess would be the only technical sweep in the history of the Subway.
Which is why I'm so excited they're going back to play real baseball series next year. 3 games apiece on the weekends. Let's make it happen. Then we can talk sweeps.
Yeah,
I don't mind it.
No, but Evan, here's the truth. If these teams played 6 times this year, 2 3-game series, do you think the Mets would sweep 6 off?
I think history already shows you. I mean, think about this. The Yankees have, for the most part, always beaten the Mets. In fact, just to give you perspective, they have now played 28 season series against each other. Half of them have ended in splits. Okay? Half of them. 9 are Yankee series victories. 5 are Mets series victories.
Okay.
So the Yankees mostly win. Mm-hmm. But sweeps are very, very difficult. So I would say that... We're never going to see 6-0. We've only seen it once in the history of the Subway.
I think the season sweep, as it would be this year if the Mets win tonight, it's rare, obviously, because it's split, but it also doesn't feel like a sweep because it's split.
I think this one does. I think this one does, though.
I mean, in your mind, you'll remember it, but it also, like, It's split. It's just four games.
Wait, so are you agreeing with him? It doesn't count as a sweep?
It does count as a sweep,
right?
But it doesn't feel like it because it's four games, but it's split.
That's what I'm saying. I know it technically counts as a sweep. I don't feel like I'm getting swept.
I just want to get ahead of this because there are people who are in their car right now. They're driving to Yankee Stadium for this game. A lot of Met fans. There were a ton of Met fans there last night. I am not going tonight because I'm an old man. And after last night, that was enough. I need a break. And then I'm going back to Citi Field this weekend. Are you telling the person in the car right now or the train they should not bring a broom to Yankee Stadium?
I think any use of brooms prematurely is very frowned upon. I would not do that.
I disagree. I think you could whip out a broom.
And also, here's the other asterisk.
What?
Evan, what? The Yankees have had a very consistent lineup. In now four of these games, we know that J.D. Davis in the lineup for three of them and hit cleanup in two of them. That doesn't count.
No, that's not how this works, though, Sean.
It doesn't count.
Sean, that's not how it works.
Doesn't count.
Do you know the Met lineup in 03? Do you give a rat's ass about the Met lineup in 03?
No, it doesn't count.
Okay. No, it does count.
Doesn't count.
I don't give a damn who your cleanup hitter is.
J.D. Davis hits cleanup. The game doesn't count.
The game doesn't count. Now he's trolling.
Right.
Now he's just trying to be a jackass.
Now he's trying to get rid of yesterday.
Now, the Yankees can turn their season around with two things. Number one, there are guys on this roster that need to be better. And we've talked about that. Whether it's Alex Verdugo, whether it's Gleyber Torres, whether it's DJ LeMahieu. And for now, we're talking about their offense. Obviously, they have their pitching issues. I would feel good about Luis Gil, which we haven't even mentioned yet today. But Luis Gil gave you yet another really good performance.
Right.
So I think that what we saw about a month ago was a blip on the radar. I feel very good about Gil and Cole leading my rotation. So offensively, they need guys to be better. They also need to add a bat in the next 6 days, and they will. And so I have made a list of eight guys that they should go after.
All right, let's hear it.
Not all of them, because you can't add eight guys.
This is your IBO list.
This is my IBO list.
Let's hear it.
And I want to warn you, all right?
Actually, it's IYO.
IYO.
Independent Yankee Observer.
That's right, an IYO. And I want to warn you, Yankee fans. I want to apologize. There's no need to go star hunting. You don't need a star. Like, I know that that's easy to do. Like, I could do that on sports talk radio and bring up big names.
Because it makes you feel good.
Yeah, but that's not what they're supposed to go after. They don't need a star. They need good baseball players. Specifically, and you're going to hear it in this list, guys that can play the infield. Because I don't think they need an outfielder, and I'll tell you why. Jason Dominguez is coming back.
Yep.
That's a game changer. Giancarlo Stanton being the DH, game changer. I do not believe that an outfielder is a necessity. So you're going to hear in this list, maybe guys that can play the outfield, but for the most part, guys that can play the infield. Are you ready?
I am.
Number one, and I'll tell you right now, this would be my number one target. He is literally only 25 years old. You have team control for the next 3 years. He's a very reliable right-hand hitter, and I'm going to love watching everyone try to pronounce his name. Because even I have issues. And that is not Isaac, but Isak Paredes. Of the Tampa Bay Rays. Isak Paredes is a perfect fit for this team. The concern, the Tampa Bay Rays. They're douches.
And they're not going to deal in division.
They may not. I don't know what they're thinking. They got
Why would they move on from him?
I think they move on from him because they're
spelled Isaac. So why would you say Isak?
Because that's how you pronounce it.
I know it's how you pronounce it, but it's spelled Isaac.
I just want him on the Yankees so we can do this a lot. Just so I can have Tiki be like,
you also call them Isak.
It's Isak.
Isak.
That's what I said, Isak. Isak Paredes.
His mama called him Isak. I'm going to call him Isak.
Exactly. Why would the Rays trade him? You know, it's such a funny question because I think with a lot of players that are available, you don't really understand why they would trade him. Other than that's what Tampa Bay does. They take guys who are few years away from free agency.
True. No, this is their history tells you that they're going to do this.
So I think that he would be costly, but he would be
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
worth it. He can play third base. He can play second base. He'd play first base. And I'll tell you right now, if Isak Paredes was on the New York Yankees, he's your cleanup hitter. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, 31 home runs a year ago. 16 already this year. He's hitting 250. He's around the Mendoza line for a couple of years, but he's 250 hitter consistently the last couple of years.
So you guys like that one? Number one? Am I one for one?
Yeah, I just can't get over how small he looks next to Aaron Judge every time he's at
first. Well, everybody looks small next to Aaron Judge.
See Pete Alonso next to Aaron Judge?
Tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like Pete's a big kid.
I know. Well, Aaron Judge is a monster.
He is.
All right, here's player number two, Amed Rosario. Amed Rosario has become a very versatile player. He can play the middle infield. He can play the outfield. Right-hand hitter. Never draws a walk. Doesn't have a lot of pop, but he's hitting 300. I don't think he's going to cost you a lot. He's a pure rental. He's only on a one-year deal.
Yep.
Amed Rosario.
Also, Tampa Ray.
Yes.
So
I don't think the Rays will care about dumping Amed Rosario. Isak Paredes will cost you more.
Why? Why do you think?
Because he's under more team control and he's better. Those two reasons. You like Amed Rosario, Shawnee?
It just feels like we're doing the IKF thing again.
He's better than IKF.
But that's the vibe I get from Rosario.
Right. He doesn't like IKF. Number three, I mentioned this guy yesterday, and this is a guy everybody's familiar with. I warn you, he's having a terrible, terrible season, but I think change of scenery spot.
Mm-hmm.
Wilmer Flores, the former New York Met. He's in San Francisco, can play third base, can play second base, can play first base, right-hand hitter. Again, he's having an awful, awful season. Oof. You could probably get him for cheap.
Yeah, he is. I don't think I realize this. 206.
Yeah. What about his numbers last year?
He was pretty good last year.
Thank you. Wilmer Flores, we know he's got a little drama in him.
That's a... call up Cash the next day and say, give me your playbook move, if that's what they walk
really?
Away with.
Really? You're that down on Wilmer Flores?
The Yankees, look, if you're going to make a deal like
this. Oh, I know what the Lugie, he's being a Met hater, right?
No, I'm not. I'm being another guy that hits 206 hater. Enough. I don't care what he did last year. He's another year older. He cried 16 years ago for the Mets. It's enough.
All right.
Ducks want to make a trade for him? Let him.
Okay. Number four, and there's a report that came out from Jorge Castillo of ESPN that says the Yankees are concerned about this guy's personality. Okay. That is Jazz Chisholm. Why? I guess I'll just be direct. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Because he's got a personality?
They traded for
he's got
Donaldson,
flair.
Who's an idiot.
Like, well, what
for
is
Dugo's got personality, where's the change?
I just need someone to walk me through what the issue is with Jazz Chisholm. Like, Jazz Chisholm will say what's on his mind.
Yeah.
He once said something that offended me about Jacob DeGrom, but I was able to move on
from
it.
Okay, but where did this report come from?
Jorge Castillo of ESPN said that there are those within the Yankees that are concerned about Jazz's personality in the locker room.
But they haven't had him in their locker room.
Right.
So that's the challenge with those kind of reports.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting, but you don't really actually know.
Well, what is...
People would have said that about Kerry Collins. Remember? Kerry Collins came, all the issues that he had down in Carolina. Kerry Collins is going to be bad for the Giants locker room. He was the greatest thing that ever happened that year, or those couple of years that he was there. Took us to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. Right? So, I think it's nice to say, or it's fun to say those things. It's news to say those things. But you don't ever really know until a guy is actually in the locker room or the clubhouse.
I have this opinion about Jazz, and it will include the Mets. So I'm going to include the Mets in this, too. So I'm not just saying this fits the Yankees. Because I know a week ago I said, I don't think he fits the Mets. I've completely changed my mind. I think Jazz Chisholm reeks of a player who brought to New York City would actually flourish. That a guy who, when he came here...
Why? Because he likes the spotlight?
He likes the spotlight. He's an incredibly talented baseball player that has not put it all together, in fairness to him. He just hasn't. And look, he was probably given too much too early. He was on the cover of MLB The Show. What are we doing? Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but he never had earned that. But he's got a lot of talent. He's got defensive versatility, left-handed hitter with pop. I think if you bring him to New York, I think he's got a chance to be a star. Mm. I'd be very intrigued by Jazz Chisholm, whether I'm the Yankees or I'm the Mets.
He's basically playing for the Nets of Major League Baseball right now.
Well,
in Miami.
What is that?
I'm just trying to make a comparison.
Can you say something?
I'm just trying to make a comparison.
Why is that? Are they still
Teak.
In the league?
Think about all the things you could do in Miami. You want to go to a Marlins game? All right, that's what, 100th on the list?
But he's also from the Bahamas, so maybe his teammates will, hey, let's top a flight. We'll go to Bahama or somewhere else down there. Let's go hang out in the Bahamas.
You guys like Jazz Chisholm for the Yanks?
I'd be super excited.
You'd be pumped up for that one?
Pumped up. I think that's the lightning rod they need. Also, by the way, Lugie, Jeff McNeil plays for the Nets of baseball.
Stop bringing up the Nets. Right. Like, seriously. It's July. I've been cleansed. Jalen is awesome. I don't mean Brunson. I don't want to hear about the Nets. Let me live in my net world.
As it pertains to Jazz Rado, I think he has energy. There's an energy about him.
Yeah.
That would be nice. The question is, forget the clubhouse. Would the ownership be okay with it?
Oh,
I think they would be, but
yeah,
especially if it's a positive energy injection.
You know what bothers me about a report like this? I don't know Jazz Chisholm, okay? Mm-hmm. And I said that he said something earlier about DeGrom that bothered me. I'll tell you exactly what it was. He was a rookie. Mm-hmm. He had a bomb of a home run off Jacob DeGrom. And when asked about it, like, hey, that must be so awesome, you had a home run off Jacob DeGrom, he made it very like, eh, whatever, it's just a fastball. Like, he really downplayed it.
Yeah.
And I was like...
But to him, he's right.
You're right. But my reaction at the time was, who the hell are you?
Right.
But talking about the great Jacob DeGrom.
But you got to think about it. How old was he? Was this
five years
ago?
Yeah.
So he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And all he knows is that he hit a home run. Now, he's probably aware of the history of Jacob DeGrom. Probably. But you don't know.
Right.
Like, some guys come into the leagues and they have zero idea the history of the organization or players. They're just good at what they do. And so maybe you have to give him the benefit of the doubt unless he clarifies.
I've moved on from it. And I think that what I would want to know from anyone who wants to put a report together that he's a problem in the locker room is what I would ask you is be more specific.
Exactly. You would need concrete examples.
If you got something to say about him, mm-hmm. then just say it. Because maybe you're right. I don't know Jazz Chisholm. Maybe he is a problem in the locker room, but I do. He feels like a guy that would become a star in New York. Quickly, Tyro Estrada, former Yankee, also having a terrible season, but gives you great defensive versatility. Again, on the Giants, a team that's dumping. Matt Chapman, who's a Gold Glove defensive third baseman, having a very marginal offensive year for San Francisco. Mm. He signed that short-term contract during the offseason. And what I love about a third baseman is it doesn't mean DJ LeMahieu doesn't play, but it puts a lot of pressure on Gleyber Torres as well. Now, I know there are a lot of Yankee fans that want to trade Gleyber Torres. Tell me what you're getting before I'm okay with it. I would not give him away. If you're getting a solid back of the rotation arm, fine. We could talk about it. Matt Chapman is a guy I would think about. Jhumeir Candelario, third baseman, Cincinnati, switch hitter. Another guy I would look at. But there's one guy who's number one. And I understand he's not a household name. Google it and you will say, Evan, you are right, sir. The number one target that if the Yankees acquired, even though you may not be familiar with him, would be such an awesome piece is Luis Renjifo of the Angels of Anaheim. Switch hitter, can play anywhere in the infield, is hitting over 300. That's what you need. And I'm telling you, I know that none of these names are sexy. I believe if you got one of these guys in conjunction with a returning Stanton and Dominguez, in conjunction with, I don't know, one of your guys performing the way they performed earlier this year, specifically Alex Verdugo, I think the Yankee lineup is completely different and you're good. My opinion.
I think it's time to play some audio off that. Okay?
Okay.
Right, don't be so cryptic. Just play the audio.
Aaron Boone just gave one of the oddest answers I've ever heard to a question as to why J.D. Davis is playing over Ben Rice tonight. Okay?
Yeah. Here we go.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
So what made Davis the call over Rice today?
Yeah, I mean, also want to get where you're trying to leverage situations. I think you look at Manaea too, pretty small sample. Like you look at his career and it's pretty stark the other way. So you kind of peel the onion back a little bit and is that what he's going to be moving forward? We're not trying to predict what happened yesterday. We're trying to what happened moving forward. And the reality is we brought J.D. Davis in to, you know, especially when Riz went down to be this kind of, and this is a guy that recently has had a good amount of success. But also trying to get young players in positions to where they can be successful as well and to have, you know, leverage situations as the game unfolds too.
I know exactly what he's saying, but he didn't speak English.
He's saying nothing is what he was saying.
No. He said something.
Yeah.
You know what he said? What
did he say?
Can I put that in English for you?
Please do.
Because I think Aaron Boone just got... Aaron, I love you, and I think he listens to the station a lot. My advice to you would be just speak normally. Just speak in a normal language. Here's exactly what he said, at least the way I took it. J.D. Davis has good career numbers against Sean Manaea.
Mm-hmm.
Manaea, we like the matchup of getting more right-hand hitters in the lineup.
Yep.
And we want to be fair to a young player like Ben Rice and not put him in a spot where he's more likely to fail because he has not hit lefties. That's what he said, except he was like heeing and hawing and talking about leverage.
Evan?
But that's exactly what he
said. Evan, if that's what he said, that's fine. He needs to say it that way. What can't come out of Aaron Boone's mouth to frustrated Yankee fans, and what he just said is, when we brought him in after Riz went down, he's had a lot of success recently. He has been
Sean Manaea. I'm telling you, he's 2-for-6 with a home run off Manaea. That's what he meant.
Okay, yes. Well, that hasn't been recent. He didn't say that.
That's the problem.
And what J.D. Davis hasn't had recently is any sort of success.
Because he wasn't speaking English. Like, I love Aaron, but he did not put
it
in normal terms.
He's the manager of the New York Yankees. He's got to speak English.
You know what I mean. Obviously speaking English, but he's not talking like a human.
I know what you're saying. He's not talking straight.
He's not talking straight. He should have just said what I said, which is exactly what he meant.
I think the challenge for Aaron Boone, because I happen to like Aaron Boone a lot personally, and I think he's a good enough manager to be successful here, but he's obsessed about not saying the wrong thing. Obsessed. That's why when you first play the beginning of that again, Sean, the very first thing, before he even says a word, he's asked the question, and he does this.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
So what made Davis the call over Rice today?
Yeah, I mean...
Exactly. Stop it. So he's thinking about how to not be offensive.
Right.
And to not piss off somebody. And how to not make his player think that he's throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes just give a very simple response. It doesn't have to be the question that was asked. Just answer how you want to answer, but make it succinct. Like you've thought about this before.
Right. You know what I mean? His answer was, I know what he's saying. He should have just said, Ben Rice is a young player who has not hit lefties.
Yes.
And it's not fair to put him in a situation that doesn't benefit him where he's likely to struggle. And I want to give you a specific example. It was a moment about 6 years ago, and I'll never forget it. Michael Conforto was a young player with the Mets, mm-hmm. and he was doing great. He was off to a wonderful start. And we started screaming, he's got to play against lefties. How else can he hit lefties if he doesn't play against lefties, right? Kind of what you want with Ben Rice, except Conforto was playing better. Michael Conforto on a Sunday afternoon was in the lineup against Madison Bumgarner.
Okay.
Now, I understand Sean Manaea is not Madison Bumgarner. But I remember being like, this is great. You know, how else are you going to learn? You got to face the best. He went an 0-for that day. And I'm not kidding you, Tiki. He went like a month without a hit.
Wow.
To the point where he was sent down to AAA.
Yeah.
And we looked back at that game and said, that's why managers, as much as we scream and yell, don't want to put young players in these horrible situations. Because even though, yes, J.D. Davis sucks, right? Okay. Just throwing Ben Rice out there could have a major negative impact, especially on a kid who, by the way, is 4 for his last 45.
Mm-hmm.
And if he said it the way I said it, you may not agree, but you'd understand. Instead, he gave you a word salad.
But here's,
it's like he's running for president.
Evan, this guy used to be a color commentator on ESPN. We know he knows how to speak. He gives great interviews. He was on with us. Do you know what this sounded like? Unfortunately, this sounded like Joe Judge when Dave Gettleman made a lot of decisions and he couldn't throw him under the bus.
That's exactly right. He's just trying to protect the feelings or the reputation of whoever he's being asked about.
Well, that's
what he's doing.
I also think this is now, I think Brian Cashman's telling him J.D. Davis should be playing against lefties.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say that.
And that's what I'm getting the hunch at. And I get the feeling Boone doesn't want to play J.D. Davis tonight.
All right. Let's go to John in Garden City. What's up, John?
Evan, I knew you were going to give a list that shows that you're like a baseball, forgive me for saying this, kind of nerd with inside stuff. Just go, stop giving me the salad. Just give me the steak. Go get Vlad Guerrero and Springer, and I guarantee you win the World Series.
John, I could do that. And you're right. That's the steak. Because a lot of guys I gave you, you know, you're not familiar with, you don't care, and I admit, it's boring.
FIFA's having a good year.
What was that?
I said Renifo's having a good year.
Renifo's having an awesome season.
Right.
But the star player, while it may be easier for us to do at 4:15 on WFAN because it's like, oh, give me the steak, that's not happening. It's not happening. So we can lie to you and just give you crap. What? That's not going to happen.
How do you know it's not happening?
Because the Blue Jays, to me, are not trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr., number one, and then not trading him inside the American League East. It's not happening. Number two, the Yankees are not taking on George Springer's massive contract.
True. Especially
the Mets may.
Especially if they want to sign Juan Soto after the season.
It's not happening. So what our last caller did is great. Like, it really is. It's better for sports talk radio. I apologize. I bored you for 10 minutes. That's on me.
It was informative.
But it's realistic and informative. I'm being honest with you. George Springer and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not happening. Now, is that a great idea for the Lugauer tomorrow night? Go with it.
Love it.
But it's not happening!
How about the red hot sizzling, the new Paul O'Neill, as Evan put it, Jeff McNeil? You want him, you can have him. He's there tonight.
Who would you want back?
Weaver.
You would trade Jeff McNeil for Luke Weaver?
Dream Weaver.
Definitely. Dream Weaver is their best reliever.
Do we have...
Got lucky yesterday.
Emmanuel Babari.
Oh, yeah, having the call from yesterday?
I don't think I told Lugie to pull it, but he pulled a great rabbit out of the hat, actually put the rabbit back in the hat and didn't allow a run. And Emmanuel Babari, the Dream Weaver!
Yeah, he put him
out of it.
He put himself in a bases-loaded one-out jam, and he struck out Torrens and Taylor back-to-back. That's interesting. It's an interesting trade. I don't dismiss that. Because Luke Weaver's been awesome. I think the Yankees...
No, we don't. We're not giving it to Luke Weaver.
Exactly. The Yankees aren't trading their best reliever exactly. outside of Clay Holmes.
And speaking of Holmes, we were there in person
last
night.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that was a good idea, though, Luke. I'll give you that.
We were there in person last night for the introduction with Holmes. There's some good pieces of it, but it needs a little work.
No, it's terrible.
No. If you kept the lights off longer and you hit that chorus like earlier, like there's some good pieces to it, but it's like falls flat.
It's an easy fix.
The song itself, which is a really good song, is not conducive for intimidating lighting.
No, it is.
What's the name of the song again?
It's White Horse.
Yeah. By Chris Stapleton?
Yes. What needs to happen is it needs to keep the lights off as he comes out and only pop them on when the beat finally drops, then you got something. They turn them off for a half a second and turn them on and it falls flat.
Yeah.
The lights need to match the tempo.
Let's go to Chris in Flint, Michigan. Chris.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing? Great Good. Show as always.
What's up, man?
So I want to kind of throw a little bit of why Mindy had Dietman come in. Your guys' way, but you gotta go down a little rabbit hole with me. I know you like that, Tiki.
Yep.
Okay, so I believe what has gotten into the clubhouse is from the future of the fan, and that's Mr. Lugauer and his power of positivity. Hear me out. All of a sudden, I think it's starting to trickle in there, and I hope it gets to Pete eventually. But we got Happy Jeff, and look at what Happy Jeff is doing. Frankie even said it. Happy Jeff is good, Jeff. I think Mindy's starting to say, okay, let's get a little bit of this positivity and try to, sprinkle it on these guys that are struggling. And Dietman just happened to be the rabbit that was pulled out of the hat last night, and it ended up working.
But Chris, you know better than I, if Jake Dietman is in another spot like that against Atlanta over the weekend, it's probably not going to work.
He's not getting away with it.
It's not going to work.
I'm going to throw a fastball four-seamer right down the middle.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yes.
Actually, really three times, even though the last one was a little bit inside, but right down the middle, and I'm going to get away with
Marcelo Zuna hits that one a mile.
No doubt.
And who's kidding who?
Because Marcelo Zuna is not saying, well, you just walked Juan Soto on four pitches. You got to prove to me you can throw a strike.
Yeah, that was a bad strategy.
I mean, it's not a horrible strategy because he'd been walked four times in the game.
Right.
But still, you got to want to eat.
You got to go after it.
You got to want to eat.
Look, a part of why, and I've heard a lot of amazing rhetoric said about Aaron Judge, and I'm not knocking him. Aaron Judge has been amazing. He's maybe the best player in baseball right now this side of Shohei Ohtani when he pitches.
No, he is the best player in baseball right now.
What makes any comparison to Barry Bonds offensive, like literally, I would say offensive, and you got to take the steroids out right now, is that Barry Bonds would get three pitches to hit a week, and two of them would be hit out over the fence.
Right.
Like Barry Bonds wasn't a human. Oh, I get it. Steroids. But he's not Barry Bonds. He's just not. Yeah. He's a great player.
He doesn't have this steroid eye, and he doesn't have the steroid fast twist muscle to see a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and just turn and hit and gone.
Doesn't matter
where you get the barrel on the bat. As long as the barrel's on the bat, it's going out of the ballpark.
Anytime I mention Bonds, it's always going to come back to that. I understand.
I mean, that's what they say.
I know.
Steroids let you see the spin of the ball better.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Who the hell said that?
I don't know if it's actually true, but that's what people say. It improves your eyesight.
But he says that.
Look it up.
Okay.
I promise you, look it up. Does steroids improve your eyesight?
We'll get to more of your phone calls from concerned Yankee fans and giddy Met fans when we come back to a little football, including the idea that we are even closer to an 18-game season and an update from Giant Camp that you're going to want to hear. Have they evolved? avoided a major injury on day one of training camp. Apparently, I was heavily criticized for what I was wearing yesterday at the game and at our show. I thought I was dressed incredibly well. Me and Tiki had the same exact shorts. I had a very nice shirt on.
Criticized by your attire?
Yeah, which I don't understand. Like, the only criticism I would totally get is that after the show was over, and I said I was going to do this, I took my David Wright jersey and I put it above or on top of my nice shirt, my collared shirt.
So what was wrong with that?
A lot of people say you're not supposed to do that.
Huh.
You're not supposed to put a jersey over a collared shirt. Is that true, Loogie?
But
that,
you couldn't see the collared shirt.
I think you could see the collar.
I mean, for anybody like me or Tiki or whoever that, like, love color coordination, Evan was an abomination.
Bro, you wore a Francisco Lindor t-shirt. I can't put you over as the guy of well-dressed.
Excuse me. At least my it matches, though. You had, like, a...
But what didn't match?
My everything. Shirt? The hat didn't match with the shirt, with the undershirt. Just take the polo off.
Oh,
put
I see.
The jersey
the
on.
The hues of blue weren't in line. That I can give you.
I mean, Joan Rivers somewhere is going, what's going on with him?
So the he is not on Project Runway.
So the color of the New York Cubans hat didn't match the Met jersey?
Yes.
Which didn't match the collar of my nice shirt?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
And well, he's not you wrong. Guys are fishing.
He's not wrong, but, you know. Me and Luke like to wear tight pants and tight shirts.
You got that right. Now, I don't know if we could say it on the air, so I won't, but we have this big event coming up that we're all going to be dressed up for, and I think Tiki has to take Evan shopping because we can't have you in the Gerald Ford tie.
I'm open for that. Like, I'll pay for it, obviously. You don't have to pay for it, but if you want to take me shopping and teach me how to be a real man, I got no problem with that.
Dress like a real man.
Dress like a real man. Also be like a real man.
It's all in the interpretation or all the presentation.
That's right. That's right. Now, let's get an update. So earlier today, the Giants and the Jets are practicing. And my attitude as a football
not
fan...
Not together, independently.
Yeah, not together. That's next month.
I was like, wait a second.
They're going to have a joint practice. But obviously, training camp has begun. You've heard different people meet the media. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane did it earlier today. Robert Saleh did it. Aaron Rodgers did it. To me, there was nothing really crazily newsworthy coming out of it. But what I love as a football fan is the idea that we're getting closer. I love football season. I love the fall. It's my favorite season, and football is a big part of why. My fear for this time of year is guys getting hurt.
Yep.
That is my fear, that guys are going to get hurt before they ever play. And so we all saw this news about 4 hours ago, and if you haven't seen it, I guess we'll break it for you, and that's Jermaine Illuminor, one of the Giants signees, who I think is scheduled to be their starting left guard this year.
Supposed to be.
But was working out at right tackle.
Yeah.
Because Evan Neal is still on the pup list.
It was a little bit odd, because in the spring... He was working out at left guard.
Right.
And Jeff Azudu was, or Josh Azudu was at right tackle. And then at the start of training camp, Illuminor moved to right tackle because Evan Neal is on the pup list. And look, I know they want him to be versatile, but with Evan Neal on the pup list, he's got to play right tackle.
Well, and here's the reality. Jermaine Illuminor has been paid, and the expectations are he is a starting offensive lineman for the New York Giants.
Yes.
And he went down in what was a scary-looking injury after a collision with Dexter Lawrence. And so you see an injury like that, and my fear is, oh, my God. Like, is this guy ever going to play for the Giants? Like, is he literally going to miss the season after day one?
Well, there was a lot of speculation because, I didn't see it. Nobody saw it. It was just kind of... unless you were there or immediately on social media. And the first thing you heard about was the cart. Oh, they're bringing out the cart. And when you see someone bring out a cart, the first thing you think of is ACL or Achilles or something like that. It was not a lower body injury. It was an upper body injury. They initially thought it was like his gut, like he got hit in his gut or he twisted his muscles. But when I saw the video, I forgot who posted the video. It was right there. I can't remember who it was. I give him credit.
Charlotte Carroll, I think.
Yeah, someone like that. Yeah, exactly. And... I immediately see it's his shoulder. Like, you can tell it's his shoulder. Like, his shoulder gets rinsed because Dexter Lawrence is pushing up into him, and it's just he's in a compromising position, and he immediately goes down, and he looks like he's holding his side, but he's actually taking the weight off his shoulder. So we'll find out what it is.
Have they given us an update yet, Sean? You're friends with all the Giant beat writers.
No, we had no post-practice interviews with Daboll or the media. It was all
so that doesn't mean it's a bad sign. It just means they have not had a chance to tell us anything.
They didn't address anything. You will hear from them pre-practice tomorrow.
That's right.
I don't mean,
it sucks because it's day one.
Well, yeah.
And they're not even in pads. They're just kind of running around in shells and trying to get fits. Like, let's fit into these you know, positions. We're not really competing heavily here. And he gets hurt on day one.
Yeah. And that's frustrating. He is going to be a starting offensive lineman on this team, whether it's at left guard or right tackle. Evan Neal is already... Look, the problem with Evan Neal is, yes, he's on the pup list. Yes, he's not healthy. He's also Evan Neal.
Yeah.
Like, I know we had this argument...
He hasn't been good.
Yeah, we had this argument a year ago where I'm like, I don't know what Evan Neal is. And here we are. I think I do know what Evan Neal is. And that's not good. And that's a problem.
And he's currently unavailable.
And currently unavailable. And when he is available, he's slated to be a starter on this team. So right now, like, the only starters you feel good about are John Runyon, who they added, Andrew Thomas, who's freaking elite, and John Michael Schmitz.
Yeah, I mean, they have a good, they have some good backups. Aaron Stinney, who they was with Tampa a year ago, he'll likely slide into left guard.
He took the first team reps today.
So he'll be at left guard. Right tackle, though, now becomes, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Josh Azudu played after Illuminor went down, and apparently Kayvon Thibodeau had about 16 sacks.
Yeah, you're already worried. It's July 24th.
Of course you're worried.
Well, there was another quote post-practice today where Daniel Jones admitted that the emphasis is, let's just get the ball out fast, essentially, to the field. So it doesn't exactly sound like 40 points a game.
We're in, like, mid-season form already. And I know this probably has nothing to do with it, but I bring it up to you as a guy who played 16 games all the time. There was a story in the Washington Post yesterday about how Lloyd Howell Jr., who's the executive vice president of the Players Association, and the NFL are now okay with collectively bargaining before the CBA even ends an 18-game season.
Yeah, this is happening.
So instead of waiting, I think we all know it's happening. I think the question has been, are we going to wait until the CBA expires in 2030, or is it going to happen?
No chance.
Yeah,
it's going to happen very quickly. Like, this may happen before next season.
You think so?
I'm just guessing. I'm just speculating. I could see it happening before next season. And the reason is that the NFL is as popular as it's ever been. And so you capitalize now. You create an 18th game, which makes it, you know, instead of having three preseason games, you have two preseason games. And you get to the regular season faster. And you can now push the season back another week, which gives the NFL what they've long desired, which is a President's Day weekend.
Which we're all for, I think.
Of course. Yeah. Give us a holiday on Monday. It is. Yeah. I mean, make it as big as it is. Because the Super Bowl is massive.
Of course.
And so if you make it a holiday the day after the Super Bowl, it's only going to be more so. It's going to be like a holiday.
Do you think it's an issue because of the fact that it's tough to get through a full season as it is?
Well, so here comes the issue. This is the issue that I think will hold up from a player standpoint, not from a league standpoint.
But the league will do it tomorrow, and they've got to give the players something to incentivize them to do it.
The players will say, you're now putting us in more harm's way.
Right.
Because football is a brutal, brutal sport, and now you've added one game already, and you're going to add another one. It's just it's hard to take the pounding and the brutality of it. But I suspect that this will happen. You're going to see rosters expanded, so it's going to go from... what is it now, Sean? 50 on game day. I'm forgetting game day. 58?
No, it was 50. No, it's still 48.
Yeah, so 48, but 53 or so.
Total roster.
So
I think
it's going to expand by, say, 10 players. And what you're also going to see is maintenance days or maintenance weeks. And
where guys don't play?
Where guys don't play. They literally won't play. And you saw the beginnings of this happen about 5 or 6 years ago when guys started getting tracked. Now, if you watch football practices these days, the non-padded ones, you see them wearing these vests, right? And it's like, what is that vest? It's kind of cool looking vest. It's a tracker. It has how much you've run, how fast you've run, the stress strain, et cetera, GPS enabled on your body so that you can predict health, like pending health issues.
Right.
You're going to get a hamstring injury because you've run this hard this many times for this many miles over 3 or 4 weeks. And so you're going to get predictive rest days for guys.
Oh, boy.
I'm just telling you.
So you're telling me
this is coming.
So you're saying that not a quarterback. Like an edge pass rusher is going to sit week 12?
Maybe. Or a running back a wide receiver. I'm promising you this is happening.
So is that good?
Well, for us old heads, no, because it's like, dude, it's your job. Go out there and play. Be ready to play every week. But that mentality is not it's not that way anymore for players, right? I used to believe that the NFL would never give guaranteed contracts because you give a guy a guaranteed contract, he's not going to play.
Right.
But now I feel like guys have started to have license to, I'm going to take a break this week because I'm not feeling 100%. That used to never be the case.
That's going to drive you nuts.
Of course it is, but it's just the reality of football these days.
Because I remember years ago, like when it was a 16-game season, having these discussions with Beningo, and we actually agreed, like, why mess with 16? 16's such a perfect number.
Yeah.
A part of it is the history. Like, my entire lifetime was a 16-game season. The symmetry of the schedule.
Yep.
That's
why it's also never going to be stay at 17. The asymmetry is frustrating.
Well, you know, and here's what's so funny about that. So I was always anti-expanding the season. And I also looked at football and said, it's great. Like, yeah, I would love more selfishly, but don't give us too much of a good thing. Let us want more. When they went to 17 games, everything you just said happened to me. I started to hate the lack of symmetry, and I said, what are we doing? Like, 1 year, the NFC has an extra home game. Another, and I hate it. I don't like 17 games. So they've gotten a guy like me to say, you got to make it 18.
Yeah.
Because I do prefer the symmetry of a season that we lost by making it a 17-game season.
Yeah.
So they've gotten me to agree to it.
Yeah.
Not that I matter.
I the other thing that I'm not so sure about, but I think we've talked about it. I know that BT and I talked about it a couple times. Like, regional realignment.
Oh, don't do that.
And so,
nah, you can't do that.
I'm not saying I've even heard this, but I know that there some people have talked about it. And so,
are you kidding me?
So
the Jets and Giants in the same division?
Well, I don't know necessarily, but regional realignment would make travel that much easier.
No, I understand.
It would make rivalries much more intense. Because everybody's around each other.
No, I get it.
So, we'll see.
I will tell you, as much of a traditionalist as I am in baseball, and I'm a traditionalist in football, too, if you told me right now, Evan, you got a choice. One of those leagues, the NFL or MLB, goes to radical realignment. Only one of them.
Oh.
Which one would you prefer? I'm going to shock you by saying, I would just say do it with baseball. Don't do it with football. I think I have a bigger problem with Jets, Giants, Patriots, Eagles in the same division. And trust me, I hate Mets, Yankees. And the history of the NL and the AL, like the history of the AFC and the NFC is cool. It's not quite the same because you've also seen a lot more changes amongst the conferences. They don't even call it leagues anymore from the AFL to the NFL. But that one, could you imagine the Jets and the
Can't have the Giants and Cowboys in the same division. That's a non-starter for me.
Or the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, no. You cannot do that
But think about it.
Ugh.
Just, I've thought about it.
But
I don't like it.
Just think about why are the... It's like the Arizona Cardinals formerly being in the NFC East.
You're right.
Why are the Cowboys in the NFC... I know it's history.
Too much damage is done.
I'm just... But is it?
Yeah, because the Cowboys are such rivals with the Eagles and Giants.
But the Cowboys are rivals of everybody. Yeah. Like, it almost doesn't matter where you stick them.
Doesn't matter to them.
It doesn't matter...
Matters to Giants and Eagle fans.
I don't care... I care. I'm a double Cowboy hater because I grew up a Redskin, now I'm a Commanders fan, and obviously I played for the Giants. But I care more about the Eagles than I do the Cowboys.
I do, but the Cowboys are right there after.
I mean, really?
Yes. I can't muster that same hatred even as much as I do here on the Jets and Patriots.
And by the way, we'd have the same issues as Jet fans. I know Miami is not as far away as Dallas, but Miami would naturally not be in the Jets division. I can't have that. I got to hate them.
Why?
Because it's just the way it is. I know I hate that answer of that's just the way it is, but that's just the way it is.
But if it changed, you wouldn't. Like, if all of a sudden Miami wasn't in the AFC East, would it kill you?
Tiki, here's the problem with that question.
No.
No, here's the problem with that question. It reminds me of a discussion I had with Christopher Russo right here on The Fan. We were arguing about the wild cards. I did not want the expansion of wild cards. And Chris's point to me, and it so pissed me off to this day, and I love you, Chris. Congratulations on your extension with Mad Dog Radio. Chris says to me, let me ask you this, Evan. Will you watch the Wild Card Series?
The answer is obviously yes.
I said, well, yeah. And he's like, so then I want to hear you rip it. I said, that's not how it works, though. I may not like something, but I love the sport. I'm a sports fan. So, of course, the NFL could do a lot of crazy things. We would still watch it. That doesn't mean we like it. You know what I mean?
I know, but I think we'd get used to it. Very quickly.
Well, we'd be forced to.
Of course you would.
It's a lot of things we'd get used to.
But it's football.
Do you want that to happen?
What, 18 games and radical realignment?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know our relationship would never be the same. The Jets and Giants in the same division? I would hate you. I would hate that guy even more.
Amazing for our show.
Oh.
It would be amazing.
Oh.
Because unlike with baseball, I can put you in your place.
You do that anyway.
I can put it in your place with film, with actual tangible proof.
No, you did that last year. What was the Jet point? I know what it was. I was so pissed off that the Jets quit defensively against Cleveland. And I'm screaming and yelling because that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And Tiggy's very calm. He's like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Come over here. And he sits there and just shows me all this tape with the Jets trying hard. And he forced me to say, okay, fine, you're right. They didn't quit.
So, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question, Evan, because I like chaos, as you know.
It'd be chaos.
And it would be awesomely chaotic, but maybe something would get lost that couldn't be recaptured.
Yeah.
I think that's what ultimately would probably push me against it. Something would get lost that you couldn't recapture.
Real quick, Jim in Basking Ridge. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, you guys are talking about 18-game schedule. I've had this idea for a while. And Tiki, I want your opinion on it. So let's just say everyone involved is going to make more money.
Yeah.
Even the players that are borderline players are going to get more playing time. And this is my idea. You play 18 games over 20 weeks, so the players get two byes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the caveat. Every player plays a maximum of 16 games. Okay, so you expand the rosters. Okay, think about it. The NFL Network to do a show on Wednesday at 5 o'clock announcing everybody's roster. It would create a lot more strategy in the game. And I'll hang up and I'll let you...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because you have to... I don't know. What do you do with the quarterback?
Well, I don't remember where I heard this, but I remember hearing the idea that you'd have to be inactive for one game, every player. And including the quarterback, and the insanity that would follow, like right here, like on Sports Talk Radio. Just strategizing the week where you sit, you're a quarterback, or the week you sit, you're a cornerback.
Oh, man.
Or do you never sit them and say, look, I'm just going to take the risk that the last week of the year doesn't matter? By the way, that's what I would do. I'm telling you right now.
What happens when you have a must-win game?
We're screwed.
You can't declare it. You wouldn't be able to declare it before the season. You'd have to do it
You do it as the season goes on, but my strategy would be I play everybody every week, and then based on the way the season goes, I'll know, oh, crap, I may have to sneak a couple of them. I may have to sneak them in.
And you'd have to include the quarterback also having to miss whatever the requisite number of games, because otherwise... Now the quarterback is really going to be making significantly more than everybody else.
Here's the good news. In New York, for both of our teams, it doesn't matter. They're both going to miss games anyway.
It's true.
It's not going to affect us. Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones are playing every game. Okay. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. We'll check in on both the Mets and Yankee lineups as we get you set for Game 2 of the Subway Series. And more from you at 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.